The Burt Show.
Kristen, what is stepping into psycho?
Stepping into psycho is when a listener hits us up and they are basically doing something that is outside their normal MO, but they have a mission, whether it's to catch somebody, like they're going to go, you know, sit in their car and watch a boyfriend to catch them cheating, or in this instance, fake an injury to try to hook up with an ER doctor.
Understandable.
Things of those nature.
It's morally gray, as we've been saying this morning.
This is really the theme this morning.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we've heard of people, like a woman called us a while ago that saw some hot dude driving and she just fender benders him a little bit in the back just so she can meet him and they can exchange phone numbers. That's stepping into psycho
that
right there. You're
psycho.
Normally a very like level-headed person, but in a case like this, you're doing something that's a little on the psycho side.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, Chrissy.
Good morning.
All right, you already know it. You already know you're stepping into psycho. What do you got?
Yeah, so I met this guy last week. My friend busted her wrist and I went with her to the ER, and the doctor was so cute. He was so charming and I haven't stopped thinking about him since. So yeah, I'm going to take a little step into psycho territory.
All right, did you say he's an ER doctor?
Yes.
So what you have to do is something drastic enough to get into the ER and know when he's going to be working, right?
Yeah. So this was last Thursday. So I'm hoping it's Thursday again. So he should be there. If not, this is going to be a big waste of time. But I've been thinking a lot about what's serious enough to get me the attention from the doctor, but, you know, not so serious that I actually have to get hurt or something.
All right. So
you know, if you have any ideas, that'd be great.
Yeah, I've got an idea. Have you thought about just going to the hospital and then like going to the front desk and going, hey, is Dr. Doomy here?
Dr. Doomy?
Dr. Doomy. Oh, Dr. Doomy.
Yeah.
I'm at Dr. Doom.
Yeah, the emphasis on the right syllables is very important there.
Dr. Doomy.
Dr. Doomy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Why not just do that instead of having to fake an injury or break an arm?
Because this is more fun.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, it's not logical.
I feel like they're just going to say they can't tell me if he's working, you know?
Yeah, he's working.
Is there like HIPAA laws for that? We got to protect their hot doctors. We can't conceal his medical records.
So as somebody that has a brother who's a firefighter, was a paramedic for a short, for a part of his firefighting career, worked the buggy. He was in ERs all the time, right? I'm here to let you know, it doesn't have to be anything drastic, because any medical professional that works in an ER knows people show up at ERs all the time who have no business being in an ER.
So I unfortunately have some really good advice for you, but I want to say that I only think that Chrissy should take this advice. I'm not giving advice to anybody else except for Chrissy, because she has already admitted that she's stepping into psycho. This is nothing anybody should ever do under any other normal circumstances. But in college, I did have to go to the emergency room because I thought I was having heart problems or I was about to have a heart attack because I was experiencing chest pain. And what happens is when you show up to the emergency room and you look them in the eye and say, I'm having chest pains, you get bumped up to the top of the list and you get ushered back immediately.
Ah, okay.
So this is a way where she doesn't have to fake an injury. She doesn't actually have to like break an arm. And it's a way for her to get sent back to Dr. Doomy immediately.
Oh my God, ER departments across the country are going to be so mad.
Right.
Yeah, I know.
So many 23-year-olds are having heart problems today. What was your deal? Was it anxiety or something?
Yeah, I had too much caffeine. Turns out I just needed to stop drinking coffee.
That tracks.
Yep.
So there's a good reason, I guess, to go. You don't have to break anything.
I appreciate the suggestion. Mm-hmm. I feel like that is, I don't feel like you should be bumping people off of the ER waiting list. So maybe something a little less drastic than I think I'm having a heart
attack.
Listen,
she's going to get in quickly and get out quickly. She's going to get in, get the number, then get it in.
Well, she is having heart palpitations because, you know.
She's not lying. Yeah. She's having premature ventricular contractions.
Yeah. She's not saying I'm having a heart attack. She's just going in there with chest pain. So morally gray.
And then when the doctor comes back, she can be like, oh, I think I'm having a heart attack because you're too hot. I think that's a One Direction song.
No, I'm missing my heart because you stole it.
You guys are both idiots.
Yep. I need you to do an x-ray. I'm not sure my heart's there. Can you check your palm?
You're doubling down on being an idiot. All right, Chrissy, follow up with us tomorrow and let us know how it went, okay?
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's Entertainment Buzz.
The Emmys are this Sunday, and host Nate Bargatze has a really great idea to keep the acceptance speeches nice and short because people love to go on and on and on. They got to thank their agent, their mom, their cat from the second grade because this is a big moment for them, understandably. Now, when you win an Emmy, you get 45 seconds to give your thank yous. But because people go longer, Nate Bargatze thinks he has the perfect idea to be able to keep them nice and concise because he has put it on the record that he plans to donate $100,000 to the Boys and Girls Club. But he said for every second that winners go over their allotted time, he plans on taking $1,000 away. So basically, if you go over, you hate the kids. But not only that, not only is he planning on taking $1,000 away every time they go over the allotted time, he says if somebody goes under the 45 second mark, he will add $1,000. So Nate's donation could very well be more than $100,000.
I think it's very funny. I don't know if he's being serious here, but it is a pretty smart thing to do and keep you invested in watching all of the awards.
No, I mean, this is like Radio 101 right here. Like, this is genius because you're turning, you're creating a bit within a show to get people to tune in, right? And if he's putting that out there for, it's the Boys and Girls Club of America, I think he's like, I think this is, while it's funny and it's a joke, I also think he's going to put his money where his mouth is, and that depending on how people time out their speeches, I think he's being legit.
I think if you're going to go for it, you got to go all the way in and like have a electronic tally board in the back also showing how much they are either up or down each time.
It turns into a telethon. You got people on the phones in the back.
I guarantee the Emmy production, if they don't do that, they're stupid.
It's going to be a 30-minute show.
Yeah.
Right.
I think what we can probably anticipate to see is like the pros, like the people who have won awards before, they're going to be like, thanks, love the kids, bye. So then they can get an extra $50,000 or whatever. But then, like, if this is your first Emmy, I feel kind of bad for them in a way, because now if you even go remotely close to 45 seconds, you just look like an a-hole.
Move it along, people. I think he's going to do a great job hosting.
Oh, yeah,
I
absolutely
love this guy, yeah.
Yeah, very great, clean comedy, very dry sense of humor. He's going to kill it. Something I wanted to talk about is, have you guys seen Kate Middleton's new blonde hair? Have you seen the photos of Kate Middleton? Now, she's gone back to brunette, thank God, because I don't know if she was wearing a wig or if her hairstylist just hates her and has revenge. Like, maybe she's a Megan fan and she's like, you know what? Let's make Kate look a little crusty today.
Well, so I'm a big fan of the Royals, right? And so, of course, I follow all of their accounts on social media. So I know what this is going to be, like the Debbie Downer of like the SNL skit talking about feline AIDS. But she came public about her cancer battle, right? Mm. So anytime anybody has been forthcoming about something of that nature, I don't ever feel like it's appropriate to talk about their hair because you just don't know if it's a wig or if it's real. Mm. Now, you know, she has gone to brunette, back to her brunette color. And I do from like a, because color analysis is like huge right now.
I want to get my colors done.
Me
so
too.
Bad.
Yeah.
I think I know what I am, but I want somebody to like put the colors in front. If you've never seen it, color analysis is basically when you get told like what season you are by putting different colors to your face.
Are you a warm summer? Are you a cool summer? Are you a hot spring? I don't know what the
term is. Are you a hot spring?
Sometimes it really like, I will say 99% of the videos, I can't see the difference, but in the 1% that I can, I'm like, oh yeah, that makes a big difference.
So I do agree. I prefer her with a brunette, but the amount of uproar over the fact that this woman put some highlights in her hair, it was astonishing.
Yeah, people are like, she's clearly a light summer and not a bright winter whatsoever.
Get it? The Burt Show.
I want some of you guys to call up and brag on yourself for just a second. 1-855-BURT-SHOW. I would really like to know who spent the least amount of time or who...
Plan their wedding the fastest.
Yeah, really. It's from saying, yes, I will marry you, to having the whole thing planned out. Now, not necessarily the wedding itself, but you had everything done. All the I's were dotted, T's were crossed. It was all done. You had everything done in the least amount of time. 1-855-BURT-SHOW. And I'll tell you why I'm asking that here in just a couple of seconds. Again, 1-855-BURT-SHOW. A reminder, noon tonight... is next week, and this is big time help for Burt's Big Adventure.
Yeah, we are 1 week away from the 11th annual Noon Tonight Fashion Benefit at Avalon. So it's coming back Thursday, September 18th. And this is one of our favorite events of the year with our Burt's Big Adventure kiddos, right? Burt's Big Adventure is our nonprofit. We take kids with chronic and terminal illness to Disney World. And our kids from this past year are going to get to just rock the runway at this fashion show. They're going to feel like rock stars. They're going to look like rock stars. It's all about making them feel loved. And Burt's Big Adventure is a whole lot about inclusivity. And so to make them feel special. And that's why this event is so great. And then also to raise money for Burt's Big Adventure so we can take future kids.
Yeah, it's such a cool event. And it's probably one of my favorite things we do with Burt's Big Adventure outside of the actual trip, just because the look on the kid's face, like when they're walking down that runway, just the little glimmer they get in their eye where it's like, everyone's looking at me. The cameras are pointing at them. Everyone's cheering for them. It is so heartwarming, and it's kind of one of the only things that, like, you got to be there to really feel it.
And I think we're just living in a time right now where you have to make sure that you're filling your soul. And a night like this kind of does that, right? You're going to laugh, you're going to cry, but seeing how special they feel while they're walking down that runway is really something special. And we've looked at the extended forecast. It looks great.
It does. So Tito's VIP tickets are sold out. We told you guys that you had to jump on those fast, but there still are some general admission tickets available. So just go to burtsbigadventure.org to snag your tickets today.
All right. So here's why I'm asking how quickly. I am really astonished because the stories that we usually get on the Burt Show is like, I've spent a year planning this wedding or a year and a half planning the wedding. And since I got engaged, it feels like we are working at lightning speed, and I couldn't be more excited about it. I'm as proactive in the planning as Amanda is, but I think compared to the past, like, man, we got our foot on the accelerator, right? So the resort is already booked. We've sent out sort of the soft save the dates also. Yesterday, my responsibility was to make sure that we've got a boat to go out on, all of us, the following day. Got a DJ for that boat also. I got a chef for that. I handled all of that. And we got the color scheme, I think. We got that figured out. It's just happening so fast.
You guys have gotten a lot of stuff done off of the wedding to-do list. But like your fiance Amanda said, there's still a lot to do.
No doubt. No doubt it's not done yet.
But the fact that you have a date, you have a location, and you've already like sent out information to everybody within 2 weeks of getting engaged, that, sir, is very impressive.
All right, here's Kelly. Kelly, what I am looking for is the person that had the least amount of time from saying, yes, I will marry you, to having everything planned for already in your wedding.
Yeah, so I got engaged in September, and then I got married November. So I started calling around to different venues and starting to like try to plan a big wedding. And then I was like, screw this. I cannot do this. And so we just went to the beach and got married.
Yeah.
We had already had a trip planned, and I was like, well, let's just get married when we go to the beach. So that is what we did.
So 1 month, 1 month, and everything was done.
Yeah. And really from the time our very first date to getting married was 9 months.
Dang. Okay.
Wow. How are you guys doing now?
We're divorced.
We are 4 years.
All right.
Congratulations. Yeah. It was a dangerous question to ask, but I did it anyway.
All right. We can blow away 1 month. Hey, good morning, Gabby. You're on the Burt Show.
Hey, good morning. So I actually met my husband, and 6 months later, he proposed to me. 1 week later, we got married.
Okay, was this like a courthouse wedding type thing, or did you actually?
No. We had a whole wedding. It was during COVID, so we didn't have a lot of people, but it was at our church. We had about 20 people come to our church, and we got married there. And my husband planned all this. I didn't realize it was going to be that fast. That was my husband's doing.
Hold on a sec. This is a whole different conversation here. He did all the planning for your wedding.
He did. And I always say he always wanted a church wedding, and I've always wanted like a wedding with like a lake on the back in the back of the wedding scene. And I always say that he got his wedding. Now it's my turn to get my wedding. So when we get married again, we'll have my wedding.
Okay.
So next week, Friday, we've been married for 5 years.
Hey, congratulations.
Congratulations.
That's fantastic.
That's a man right there.
One week, y'all. 1 week.
Sorry, you don't win.
No, we're not going to win that one. We're not going to win that one. All right.
You're on The Burt Show.
There's absolutely no reason yet again to ghost somebody. It's easy. Just all you got to do is send a quick text. That's it, right? So it's maddening when you're getting ghosted, not only romantically, but in your friendships also.
Especially at my age. Like, by now, we should have figured out how to communicate with each other and give each other the respect. And, you know, I always have loved the phrase that you get vibes from people, but there's advice out there that's like, unless they tell you that something is wrong, you shouldn't assume something is wrong. Mm-hmm. And I love that advice, but I don't buy into it because it's just not true, because people don't act like adults all the time. And that's okay. Everyone's in a different phase of emotional intelligence, blah, blah, blah. But it's annoying when your friend ghosts you. Come on now.
Uh-huh.
So I have a friend. I've had it for years and years. And just over a year ago, she stopped talking to me. And I have no idea why. I literally cannot recall anything that has happened. We had just had a trip together. It was fine. And then I'm like, no big deal. She's like one of those people like me. I'm so bad at responding to text messages. I'll read it, respond in my head, and then forget about it. And then weeks later be like, thanks for offering me your house for a whole week. Sorry I didn't respond at all, like an a-hole, but I'll usually apologize. And I think I've sent her probably like every couple of months, I will ping her. So I was like, let me not assume that I have done something wrong. I would be like, hey, I saw they're making our favorite book into a movie. Hey, girl, what's your t-shirt size? Because I wanted to send her something.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm sure you're really busy. I'm so, you know, just thinking of you. You crossed my mind. And I'll just do little pings like that to be like, maybe something is going on in her life that I don't know about. I don't need to make it all about me. It could be something bad. So let me be there for her. But now, since May of 2024, I have not heard from her. So at this point, I'm like, I've done something. Mm-hmm. There must be something I've done. She hasn't posted on socials, but I've seen her like posts. And I'm like, okay, I think at this point I have done something wrong, and I don't know what it is.
And again, I was working on a couple of other things while we're doing the show. What's the history of the relationship?
She was like a tier one.
Tier one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and that's why I was really upset at first. Sometimes she does this with our friends, though. There will be fallouts over what I deem minuscule stuff. And so I'm like, I'm going to let it lie. And I was talking to another friend the other night, and I was like, have you heard anything about this mutual acquaintance? Because they're not friends. And she's like, I don't really follow up with them because of something that happened in the past. And I was like, you can do that. You can just let it go and not worry and ruminate over it. Because I'm like, I need to make right. I need to let her know I'm here in case it's not about me. And if it is about me, I need to prove my friendship. Because I've done crappy stuff to friends in the past. Like, I slept through a 30th birthday party by accident.
Mm-hmm.
Things happen. Like, I don't think anyone can look at their lives and be like, 100% of the time, I've been the greatest friend. I think we all have flaws. And so I'm like, can I just walk away from this and ignore it? And I'm like, that doesn't feel right. That doesn't sit right with me, because I think with your friends, like, I'm also like, I'm supposed to be there. I'm supposed to be giving you the same benefit of the doubt that I wish that you had given me. But where do I draw the line between investing in this relationship?
So for me, I've been in this exact situation. One of my best friends that I thought I would be friends with forever just decided to ghost me out of nowhere. And the way that I decided to handle it was that I gave her one opportunity to, like, let's lay it all out on the table and talk about what's going on. And if we still feel like we have resentment afterwards, then we can move forward and move on. But what happened when we had that conversation was I had multiple follow-up conversations where she said, everything's fine, everything's fine, everything's fine. And then it comes to pass that, like, she stopped reaching out to me, and it's just like this one-sided conversation between me and her. And so I think at some point, like, you have to do everything you can to feel like you've done what you feel is right. And so for me, what felt like was right was to get everything out in the open and to hopefully move on. And she didn't feel that way, even though she didn't communicate that to me. And so at some point, you've just got to respect yourself enough to go, this person clearly doesn't have the same kind of respect for me that I have for them. So it's in my best interest to leave. I now have to make that choice. I don't want to make that choice, but I've done everything that I feel is right in this friendship to make sure that we've left things on good terms.
And I think that's where I am, except for one part. I don't want to go to her and be like, what have I done wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's scary.
It's a little scary because I don't want to deal with that on top of everything else, but also because I can't think of anything. I'm like, why am I inviting drama into my life?
Yeah, you know what I'm learning more and more is that when things are right, it should be easy.
Yeah.
You know, in your relationships, you know, they're always going to be a little bit challenging. You're going to have ups and downs in them, but it should be, for the most part, pretty easy. And I think it's the same way for your best friends. Mm-hmm.
I feel that way about romantic friendships, but I do think women, we tend to tell ourselves these stories about conflict in our lives to where sometimes we can build things up in our head so much that it feels like this massive thing until you have a conversation. And sometimes it just takes somebody saying what's going on for you to be able to put it out into the universe and have those conversations so you can realize this narrative that you've been building in your head is totally fictional and you can just move on. Like, I think that's a flaw that women kind of as a whole have. I'm a victim to this. I do this all the time in conflict.
Yeah, you guys suck.
Yeah. It's, I mean, women, we have our flaws. We also have our pros. And I think if we used our voices more, we would realize sometimes these problems aren't as big as we're making them out to be in our head.
If I were you, and if this is a friendship that you truly value, like, because you do, you have to sit there and you have to weigh, is this worth not only my time, but my mental, do I have the mental capacity? Do I have the emotional capacity? Is this something I want to pursue, or am I okay just letting it go? It sounds like you're not okay just letting it go. So I would reach out one last time, and I wouldn't come at it like, what did I do wrong? I would just be like, hey, are we okay? Cause I feel like, you haven't been responding to my text messages.
Well, that's a good way of doing it. Cause I think I've had some friendships over the past few years where, how do I say it? I feel like I've been gaslit into thinking that I'm an awful, horrible friend and a bad person. And yeah. I'm finally on the other side where I'm like, no, it's not always my fault. Yeah. So I'm like, do I say, la-di-da-di-da, what did I do wrong, girlfriend? Let me make it right. Or do I say, la-di-da-di-da, you're almost 40. You should be able to tell like a friend of 20 years that I messed up and call me out on it.
When I was younger, I used to, I think, take a lot of pride in having a whole bunch of friends and acquaintances I could lean on. But now as I'm getting older, my friend group has shrunk so much and for the better. I just don't need a whole bunch of people anymore. I need trusted people that I really enjoy and love. And that's all I need.
But it's that what happens when one of those people does something out of character, though, and that's what I'm dealing with. So this is the text I've written. I have not sent it. And I want y'all's opinion, though. I really like Kristen's text as well. But I said, I want to say, hey, I truly hope things are okay with you. I'm thinking I must have done something to piss you off. So if you ever want to talk about it, I'm all ears. Until then, I'm going to leave you alone and I wish you all the best. If I'm off base and there's something I can help you get through, you know I'm in your corner.
I think I would, if it was me sending it, I think I would just take the part out where you say, clearly, I've done something to piss you off.
Yeah.
You know,
because I'm like, hey, I know you don't like me as a human being. Everyone tells me I have a crappy personality, but what's going on?
I think asking the question, like, I don't know really what's going on in your life, but just want to let you know that I'm here if you need me, is plenty.
Because I would do like logically, when you're looking at the evidence, like you, how many texts have you sent over the past year and she hasn't responded? I can see why you would make that assumption. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it's still an assumption.
Yeah, that's
so
fair.
I would do fact finding and be like, hey, so I've noticed that I haven't heard from you and I just want to make sure we're good.
Okay, I like it.
That's it.
All right. And if she doesn't respond to that, that's your answer.
There you go.
You're fired.
It's the Burt Show.
All right, so I ended up in a fight with my husband, and I use the term fight very loosely, and it could have been completely avoided if he just would have listened to me. It was that simple. Just listen to your wife, and this whole thing could have been avoided. All right, so there we were in the kitchen, and I admit, like, I screwed up, and I knew I screwed up. One, I knew I screwed up as soon as my husband walked in the door and the look he gave me. I got the hairy Bart eyeball, right? Or the Bart hairy eyeball. And so what had happened was the other day, Jimmy had a nightmare of the day, which, sidebar, was talking to the like our little neighborhood gathering last night. Mm-hmm. Everybody else's kids were acting like heathens and somebody mentioned the full moon. And I'm like, is that a thing? But it was so odd that everybody's kid was acting out on the same day and it was brought up that there was a full moon. And I'm like, I'm wondering if that is the case, yes or no. But anyway, Jimmy just, he had an off day.
Uh-huh.
My dude had an off day. And it took a toll on his mom and dad. So we get towards the end of the day. Bart wanted to get him to bed early, which I completely understood because he had been a tyrant. You know, Jimmy had been a tyrant that day. However, there was a poster board project that I was needed to work on. And it's his all about if you have a kid in pre-K, apparently this is like a homework assignment everybody has to do. You take a poster board and it's an all about me poster board project. And you put pictures on there and all these fun facts about your kid, right? Actually, it's their homework assignment, but he's four. I did it. And so I got into this zone, right? Because mm-hmm. this has been on my to-do list. It needs to be turned in by the end of the week. So I'm like, all right, let's go ahead. My stuff had come in from Amazon. I was ready to hit the ground running. So he and I are at the table putting together this All About Me poster board project. And I, my middle name's Extra. I am Extra. I'm not going to post it, but I showed Cassie the All About Me poster I put together. Jimmy loves underwater sea creatures, so I turned him into a little scuba diver with his flashlight, and he's finding fun facts about himself with all these like underwater sea creatures.
It's seriously cute.
Thank you. And so he's, you know, he's quote unquote helping me. And I'm like, are you sure the stingray looks good there? I think we need to move it over here. And then I'm like, Mom, like, chill out. Well, Bart walks in because he had been doing something outside. And the death glare that he gave me, because it is now 7:15 and we are not in the bedtime routine. And the process has not begun to get Jimmy into bed. And then, of course, Jimmy's like, I'm hungry. I want a cold yogurt. And so now it's delaying everything even more. So we get done, get him into bed, whatever. And I come downstairs and there he is standing in the kitchen, his back against the counter. With his spatula scooping out the remaining yogurt in Jimmy's container because he eats it like till there's not a single thing left. And he's like, all right, so we got to have a talk. And in that moment, I said, I know I'm going to get reprimanded. I know I screwed up. Can we please just can we table this till tomorrow? Can we talk about it tomorrow? Because I was just not in a good headspace.
Mm-hmm. No.
It did not get tabled.
Oh, boy, went in.
And
huh?
He's like, I'm not going to reprimand you. And I'm like, yes, you are. I know what I did. And I lost track of time. And I own that. I'm sorry. And I get it. And I need to be better. So can we please just talk about this tomorrow? That mofo would not wait until tomorrow. So we ended up having the conversation that night. And then I got defensive and I said something I shouldn't have said. And I was like, I get it. I suck as a mom. And he's like, that's not what I said. I didn't say you suck. I'm just trying to get you to be caught in blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, if you just want to wait until tomorrow when I was in a better headspace, we could have had this conversation. And then he leaves to go feed the dogs. And then I flip him off as he like once he turns the corner and he can't see it. Actually, he turned and came back really fast. So I had to like
retract it.
I almost
back in the sheet.
You didn't want to see it.
I almost got busted flipping him off. And then I was just like, man.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. He was right. All right. Like he was right. He had every reason to be agitated because by not getting to Jimmy to bed, it's going to make his life more difficult tomorrow morning when he's trying to get him up. And he's the one that has to deal with the tired Jimmy take. I get all that. And I know all that. But it was him saying, I'm not reprimanding you. And I'm like, but you are. Like, sometimes you don't understand your condescending tone. And that I just need you just, I know I screwed up and I'm just not in the mood to be told that I did something wrong.
I just canceled our wedding. Based on that,
by
I just
the
canceled
way,
the wedding.
By the way, the next morning, everything was absolutely fine.
Well, of course, the full moon was gone.
Yes. Yeah. See?
This is on the moon phases. This isn't on Bart. This isn't on you. This is on the tides and the woo-woo astrology BS.
It is so hard to like hold your tongue, though. Like, I understand. He should have had the discipline to go, okay, I get it. We'll revisit it tomorrow. It's just so hard to keep it down.
And in that instance, like where there needs to be compromise. But how do you compromise? Because he wants to talk about it now, but I want to talk about it tomorrow.
Got to talk about it tomorrow then.
I get why that's so frustrating. I literally had this exact conversation with my mom a couple of days ago. I was just not having a good day. And she knew that. I had been on the phone with her and she knew I just needed a day to not, you know, have to be responsible for anything. I just needed to lay down in bed. And all of a sudden I posted this. this TikTok to my Instagram. It's this trend that people are doing where they say, like, unfortunately, I do love. And then you list all the things that you love that you're not supposed to love. And one of the things I love is saying the F word. And so my mom, knowing I'm in a deep, dark depression, decides to text me, I really wish you wouldn't say the F word so much.
Oh, no.
And I text her back and I said, what about the circumstances of today made you think that this text was a good idea? And thinking, she's going to be like, you know what? That was the wrong thing to say. Let me check myself. She doubles down. She texts me back and she's like, well, I'm your mom. I'm supposed to say stuff like that. And I said, let me make this so very clear. Today of all days is not the day I need criticism. So how about, hey, I recognize this was a poorly timed text message. Let me rethink my wording and maybe save that for another day. Also, you're 28 years old and I'm your mom. I really don't need to police everything you do on the internet. Let's just leave it there.
Right? So it's all about timing and being receptive to the message. His message was not wrong.
Yeah.
I was just not, like, I was not in a place to be receptive of it. And I know, like, I love getting to the why. And it's because I had been the one to order everything on Amazon. I was the one that did the Michaels run and got the poster board and got everything. I was the one that sat there at the table with Jimmy for over an hour putting this together. So I had done a good mom thing, but then all of a sudden, all of that gets negated because I was late putting him to bed. And so that's why in my head, I'm like, let me like, it turned, he and Jimmy was so excited and he wanted to show. So I'm like, let me have this moment and then to, and so not to take away from this moment. And that's my, like, that was my reasoning and my thinking. But no, that's not what happened.
Yeah, it's just really difficult. Like when you got something to say, it feels like you need to say it right now, no matter what. But the truth of the matter is when your partner is telling you like, this is not going to go well.
I'm not going to, it was not, I knew myself enough to know in that moment, it was not going to be received well. And guess what? It wasn't, because then I'm over here going, I just suck as a mom. And I know it was an overreaction. And then it negates like what he's saying, because and he has like a legitimate gripe for sure. I just wasn't in the place to accept it.
There's one thing I can't really get over, because obviously I understand this was a very tense conversation. The full moon was out, the wolves were howling, all the things.
Yes.
As a child-free adult, I don't fully understand like what is so egregious about the bedtime being pushed back.
Okay, oh, so she doesn't understand the importance of routine.
No, it's not. Here's the thing. It's not just the one thing. I am, believe it or not, the loosey-goosey parent, right? Bart is very and like,
believe it or not, is there a question?
So routine, regimen, like consistency, all that is very important in children's development, right? Like you can have days when you go like off, but like as far as routine and schedule, kids actually thrive on that, right? So it's because we had such a horrendous day, both of our nerves were frayed because of him. And so, and I may have had instances in the past where I'm not as detail oriented. It's not that I'm not, I'm detail oriented, but I just would rather have fun. What about things are fun? I don't know.
Every marriage needs that one person, and it is you, sister.
Here, Bert Show.